Ray, I took a look at the 401k again yesterday. I thought, now should I pull the trigger? Considering that asteroid is auguring in on Earth anyway, it's about 2 weeks out. Maybe today is the day I just cash it all out and start having some fun.
Well, won't you be able to start drawing on that thing in about another 3-4 months? Leave it in. Let it ride for now.
Are you hearing something I've not heard?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not, Mr. Howell.
Well, how high can this go, this bull market, this, let's be honest, Donald Trump market, which I remember part of his fake news awards last night was the fact that I thought, and I know that Larry Kudlow knows Paul Krugman very well.
And Paul Krugman said, he goes, you know what, the stock market will just, it will tank because of a Donald Trump president. See, and that was absolutely wrong.
Well, let's start there with Larry Kudlow, who might want to respond to the fake news awards that the president tweeted out late last night, calling out Paul Krugman by name. Larry, good morning. Larry's from CNBC. You can hear his show 3 o'clock on Saturdays here.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Well, how high can this go, this bull market? How far do you think it can run?
Well, look, nobody knows the answer to that. And all I can say is it's not over yet. The fundamentals are good. I mean, when you look at these things, you do not want to out-time the market, because no one can. No one. In fact, I think I saw a study not long ago, something like the last 50 years, the biggest gains in the stock market came on 20 days of the past 50 years. And if I'm wrong about that, it was the past 100 years, something like that. So you can't time the market. You have to stay in stocks for the long run. Professor Jeremy Siegel of Penn coined that phrase in one of his great books many years ago. And look, right now, I mean, corrections are, you're not going to get 300 points every day, obviously, but corrections will come and they will go. So, for example, let me just give you one little thing that's on my mind. I think because the economy is picking up speed, and, you know, you saw what happened with Apple yesterday, not only are they paying a lot of taxes to repatriate all their cash, they're going to be investing in the economy. They're giving their entire workforce large-scale bonuses. That's for the ordinary wage earner. We've talked about that.
Talk about $2,500, Larry.
That's correct. Yeah. That's a nice number. Anyway, the point I'm making is long-term interest rates are probably going to go higher, because the economy is stronger, and it's not inflation, it's just real interest rates, like real GDP is going to be 3 to 4, not 1 to 2. That'll probably cause a correction, but corrections here, I think right now in this cycle, are going to be mild, 3 to 5%, okay? And there'll be big numbers because we've got, you know, the law of high numbers works here, but you can't panic. You can't panic.
In fact, 3 to 5%, that's absorbable easily.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if I'm wrong, John, if it's 7%, okay, something like that, you just can't panic because you can't time the market. What you have to do is try to look at the overall picture. Is the economy getting better or is the economy getting worse? Most importantly, are profits getting better or are profits getting worse? Profits are the mother's milk of stocks and the lifeblood of the economy. You see, one of the great things here is profits have started to rebound after slumping in 2014 and 2015. By the middle of 2016, profits were beating estimates again.
Yeah.
So then Trump wins and comes out, you know, publicly with our tax cut plan, part of which is aimed directly to improve profits. So your market is just running on that. And as long as profits are good, as long as you see business investment good, then you want to be long the market. You want to ignore corrections. You want to ignore the geniuses that are going to tell you exactly when to sell and exactly when to buy. In other words, you want to stay long and let this thing run its course. And it may run its course for several years. Just don't try to out-time it. That is my best advice. I've been in and out of this game for many decades.
Government shutdown. If it happens, Donald Trump just tweeted out about 15 minutes ago, a government shutdown will be devastating to our military, something the Democrats care very little about. Okay, set the politics aside on that. My understanding is that Social Security doesn't get touched during a shutdown by law, and the military is paid through the end of this month. And my understanding is a government shutdown will only affect 17% of the federal government.
Is that true? That is correct. When I was one of Reagan's budget deputies years ago, we had a whole bunch of these government shutdowns. And I remember they happened, and I thought I'd get the day off. But I was deemed essential. I was deemed essential. I don't know why. Number three or four guy in the agency.
I mean, in essence, doesn't the government shut down every Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, right. It just doesn't. You know, this has become a Washington ritual. It's much ado about nothing. You're right. Entitlements are paid out. Your food stamps are paid out. Medicaid is paid out. Don't worry about it. Now, there is a point, though. The president does make a point. In terms of longer-range planning, he is attempting to invest more heavily in defense, which needs it. And I say invest. This is, you know, weapons development and things of that sort, including, I might add, knocking off alleged North Korean ICBMs. So that hinders the Defense Department's long-range planning, and they ought to figure out the split between defense and non-defense, the spending, the domestic spending sequester that the Republicans did 3 or 4 years ago is pretty much gone. That was good policy, in my judgment.
I agree.
Government. But that's an issue. But no, the public doesn't understand it. Politically, it has no meaning whatsoever. And frankly, for most Americans, it has no financial meaning whatsoever.
Just more cable news. Just
a lot of Washington.
It is. And final question, when they make the TV miniseries Fire and Fury, who do you think should be cast to play Larry Kudlow?
I was going to say, I'm in touch with my friend Michael Wolff, the author. I want to play myself in the West Wing.
There you go. Why not?
I actually, this is amusing. When they canceled the series, because who's the Wetsy was named in an alleged sexual lawsuit, they had called me and wondered if I would play myself in one of the West Wing, or whatever it's called, House of Cards.
Yeah.
And I said I'd be happy to without pay. So I'll make the same offer to Mike Wolff if they do it. I'd be happy to do it. Even though the book has no historical merit.
Even though it's a fake book.
It's a huge book, obviously. I'm about halfway through it. I mean, it's a great read. Michael Wolff, say what you want about the accuracy. The guy can write a page turn.
Oh, he's great. I mean, he's a great writer, old-time journalist. I've known him for many years. I think the book is horrific, but I give him all the credit in the world, and he's going to get a 7-figure contract for the TV series.
Yeah. Larry, thanks so much. I look forward to lunching with you in New York coming up in February.
Terrific. Great.
Take care.
John,
there's Larry Kudlow from CNBC, and you can listen to him on his own show 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoons.